Hello.
Hello, folks. We have a quorum. We're about a half hour late. Let's bring the meeting to order. Please have a seat, and we'll get started. Let me introduce myself. I'm George Ryder. I'm chair pro tem of the meeting until I'm no longer chair pro tem. and I want to begin with a welcome from the chair for all of last year, Sherry Gindelman.
Thank you, George. I do want to welcome everybody here to the January. I am using a mic. I want to welcome everyone here to the January 2009 meeting of the Pacifica National Board to Los Angeles. I want to thank everyone at the local station for having arranged the logistics for creating the meeting, finding place for those who stayed in private homes and scouting out hotels. On behalf of the Pacifica Board, we are all very appreciative of your efforts on our behalf to facilitate this meeting. I want to take special time to thank again John Almela and his entire crew. While John is an employee and paid in the high two digits to do his job, he does it well above and beyond the call of his gigantic salary. And thanks, John. You just really add a level of professionalism to our board meetings that is very much appreciated. I want to thank all of the people who served on the 2008 board. It was a board that I think accomplished much in terms of making clear the financial status of the foundation at this time, and I appreciate and applaud the efforts of those members who served on the board the last term. I want to thank our general counsel for his service, the foundation counsel, Dan Siegel, for all that he has done for the foundation. It's very much appreciated, much of which has not been billed. With that, we're seating a new board for 2009. During my tenure, because our executive director resigned, we did not have an executive director, and I convened regular meetings with the general managers of the five stations, who I have come to know very well. And I just want to say that these are the people that run the foundation, and I really appreciate their efforts. We will be receiving, and I see that there is, I believe, a final version of the proposal for the foundation's problems from the general managers. And there is a new manager in Los Angeles, Sean Heitkemper. And in my brief experience of Sean, I have experienced him to be a person of great radio professionalism, intelligence, integrity, and very charming. And I guess he thinks his best talent is being able to speak to the press and say nothing so that they don't continue to put his name in the press. But he's really a treasure and an asset to the Pacifica Foundation. Also present here tonight is Brian DeShazer, who, there you are. Who is the program, who is the director of the Pacifica Archives and has held that position for some time and has fought very valiantly to protect the archive, which is the treasure, of Pacifica. I don't know if there are any KPFK LSB members present in the audience, in addition to those who are on the board, and if there are, I would ask you to stand up at this time. And identify yourselves, please. I know one person is Sherna Gluck, and would you guys say your name, the gentleman over there?
Israel Foyer.
Israel Foyer. Steve what?
Willowax.
Hi, Steve. Welcome, all of you.
Sherna Gluck.
I said Sherna Gluck.
And Tracy Larkin's way back there.
Yes, Rafael Renteria, who passed away.
Juan Carlos Santos. Juan Rafael Santos, a.k.a. Rafael Renteria, presente.
All right.
And I just received, or I'm sure several people received, an email that Steve Conley, who had served on the KPFA LSB, died suddenly and unexpectedly. And I just want to acknowledge that to the board as well. So with that in mind, in the earlier session, which was a board training where some business was conducted, George Reiter was the chair pro tem. He is going to take over the meeting at this time, and I thank you all very much.
Let's go around the table and introduce ourselves once again to the public, however you'd like. And we'll begin with Susan.
Susan Young, KPFT, listener member.
Susan Young, KPFT, listener member.
Bonnie Simmons, staff member. From KPFA and from Oakland, California, the best city in the world.
Sherry Gentleman, community rep, KPFA.
Andrea Turner, KPFA, listener rep.
Nia Bediako, New York, WBAI, YII, and I'm a listener member.
Dan Siegel, council.
Rico Ross, listener rep.
Lizette King, WPFW, listener rep.
Jim Brown, WPFW, staff rep.
Ifia Wangaza, WMXP, 95.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, the voice of the people, reclaiming the drum.
Yes, yes, yes.
Affiliate rep.
I can't follow that. Wendy Sherrell, KPFT, Houston, listener member.
Kathy Davis, WBAI, staff rep.
Grace Aaron, KPFK, listener rep.
AC Bird, WPFW, listener rep.
Sean Casey O'Brien, staff rep from KPFK.
George Reiter, staff rep, long time in Texas, born in Brooklyn.
Carolyn Burden, WBAI, I'm actually, WBAI, listener rep.
Jamie Ross, WBAI, listener.
David Beaton, WSLR, LPFM, affiliate rep. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the inspiration of WMNF and Vicky Santa, who passed away this past year. Yes, John.
And Donna. Yes.
John Almella, National Technical Director.
Thank you. Donna, would you introduce yourself?
Donna Neiman, Interim Secretary.
Excellent, excellent. Interim Secretary. We are just delighted to have Donna with us. The next item on the agenda is acknowledgments. This is a chance for the board to acknowledge anybody, basically, in the network for things they've done as a contribution to the network. It's set for 5 minutes. In view of the passing of people who are dear to us, I'd like to extend that to 10 minutes, if that's all right, so people have a chance to say what they need to say. Is there any objection to doing that? If we don't need it, well, we won't use it. Okay. Anyone want to begin? Yeah, Nia.
Thank you, and good evening, everybody. There are members of New York that sent a message to Rafael, and it says, Rafael was a powerful voice politically and literally in the struggle to save Pacifica, to democratize the network, and to open her gates to the voices of people of color and indigenous peoples. He was a leader in the struggle against racism in Pacifica and in the world at large. Rafael's struggle was at all times beyond himself and for the people. His passing saddens us greatly. And that's from Tibby Brooks, Lisa Davis, Gail Golden, Sheila Hamanaka, Vajra Kilgara, Mimi Rosenberg, Berta Silva, and I think I'm leaving somebody out of here. Bradford. I'm sorry?
Leslie,
this is to Leslie. There is, and it says here, for justice and unity. So goodbye, Rafael. We love you. Bye.
Presente.
Could we have a moment of silence, George, please?
Certainly.
Thank you.
It was intended for the board, but I think in this case, if it's about Rafael, yes.
This is Bernie Eisenberg. I worked closely with Rafael 5, 6, 7 years ago, and we worked hard. And the reason why Leslie Radford is not here tonight is, or this afternoon, is because she was working on on a memorial speech for him. Rafael identified very much with the indigenous people of this country, and tonight there's going to be a spiritual memorial for him.
6 p.m.
It already started at 6 p.m. For those people who will be in Los Angeles 2 weeks from now or so, there will be a memorial scheduled where many people who knew him can speak. And I just wanted to make that announcement. Thanks.
Hi, Rafael Renteria Nye, a.k.a., and that's how I have known him, and I loved him for that. Him and I worked in the bylaw subcommittee under the auspices of KPFK LSB in 2001. We labored, toiled a year and a half, crafting very difficult language, very inclusive language, never adopted, finally, because the only bylaws that was at the time revolutionary, progressive, was lost by one vote. Today we find ourselves in chaos, because the bylaws continues to haunt us, the one that was finally voted on, and there were three on the table. And I'm giving that background for history of those of you who are new here. Ever since 2001, I have been aging. My hair is not as white as Grace, but it has been getting very white, just please, volunteering. And I want to say,
this isn't a time for acknowledgments, not for political statements. There'll be commentary time later on. You can say what you need to say.
Okay. Then. And I wanted to say that even though some of you may not have known Rafael, he was very much in the moment for all the voices that we continue to fight to be heard on the airwaves of Pacifica. So keep that in mind. Thank you.
And anyone else about Rafael? Wendy? It's not limited to that, but if it's about something else, I'd like to share something about Rafael. I knew Rafael in Houston as Richard King before he came out here. I know him to be a poet, an intellect, and a great seeker of the truth, and I am missing him. Wendy.
I just want to acknowledge all of you and all of our people around Pacifica. As we look around, you know, most of us are all around the same age, and our people are dropping off here, a lot of them all of a sudden. And I just really want everybody to take care of themselves and be thankful for what we've got right now. And, you know, I love y'all.
I'd like to do, they've been acknowledged before, but I'd like to acknowledge some of the people by name. Some of you have been acknowledged by name. This is a kind of combo list that people have given me, and if I've left anybody out, please, those of you who know, speak up and add their name. Tracy Larkin for the food and the drinks, Lawrence Reyes for transportation, Ali Alexa, Jonathan Alexander, Richard Phelps for transportation, Bella DeSoto, Richard Zimmerman, Bernie Eisenberg for general organizational work, Chris Condon, Judy Alter, Jim Goodman, Ken Aaron, for making their homes available and reducing the costs for this thing so it's less of a burden on the network, and Grace Aaron for finding this place at a ridiculously cheap price. So thanks to all of you.
Okay. Also, Tom Camarella and his wife, Ronnie Jane, are putting some people up, too.
Chad, did we mention that gentleman?
Yeah, Rico.
No, the guy with the hat. Israel. Did we mention him?
Yeah.
You can mention him.
Thank you,
Israel,
for handing it all out.
Rico. Yeah, I'd also like to mention that John Van Aken was very helpful in the early stages of bringing you guys over.
Yes. Susan.
A couple of acknowledgments. One is to Donna, who is doing the incredibly important and thankless job of being a secretary. I think many of us have agonized with inadequate minutes and so forth. What you're doing is a huge benefit to everybody. And I'd also like to thank Brian DeShazer and the archives. They have been a godsend to the world. He's getting the word out, and I know it's very, very important in our own fundraising. Thanks.
Anyone else? Afia.
I want to thank Grace Aaron for being a vigilant National Finance Committee member. And despite all kinds of assaults and abuses, staying not only on her post, but challenging us to pay attention to what was going on and saving the foundation from entering into a $1 million loan that would blow up in our faces in short order.
This is just for acknowledgement, not for other things.
In addition to burdening foundation assets.
Sure.
I want to thank the efforts of Mike Martin, the chair of the National Finance Committee, in bringing clarity and transparency to Pacific, and I want to thank Elizabeth Doc Bethune and Lori Taguma for their enormous contributions of passion, politics, and clarity for their time on the board.
Anybody else?
I would like to thank Dan Siegel for his efforts and work that he's put in. I know this was very hard for him today. He showed courage, and I think when he walks away, he's going to walk away. He should be walking away with dignity for the hours and that he's worked paid and unpaid.
Seeing no others, we'll move on to the agenda as the coordinating committee described it, which is the report from KPFK from Sean Heikemper. On the time on this, Sean, we were supposed to start.
George?
Yeah.
I'd like to be recognized.
I'll open up. The recommendation from the coordinating committee is just a recommendation. We had on the agenda for tomorrow approving the agenda, but we can do it now if that's the desire. Yes?
I'd like to suggest that we... I'd like to suggest that we accept the agenda for this evening as stated in the draft agenda and bring up the question of the rest of the agenda first thing tomorrow morning.
Second.
Is that acceptable to those who want to get the agenda clear? Susan?
I object. I object.
Okay. So let me see what happened here. Now, there was a motion to approve the agenda. Was it seconded? Okay, so that's what's on the floor.
No, great. There was a motion to approve the agenda only for tonight.
I made a motion to approve the draft agenda for only for tonight and then to take up the question of the approval of the rest of the agenda first thing tomorrow morning.
Now, I'm sorry, but what I heard first was simply a motion to approve the agenda.
No.
That was not. So this is the only motion that's been made.
Yes.
Is that correct?
I said you had to address the approval of the agenda. I made no motion.
Okay. So this is the only motion on the floor from Grace. So.
The one I heard.
There's an objection?
It's up for discussion. The agenda is now open for discussion.
Right.
You can discuss any part of it you want.
I'd like to be recognized, George.
Susan and then Nia.
When we I just want to see if or converse about whether we want to continue with the discussion that was postponed or the motion that Andrea had brought previously. I don't know that this is the best time, but I don't want us to forget that when we voted to adjourn that we had discussed that could be taken up, that issue could be taken up after the adjournment.
Are you going? That was one of the things I was going to mention. Are you going to rule or?
There's nothing to rule. If you want to,
I'm not making an amendment.
The agenda is open. The agenda is open. Grace has made a motion which said basically, I want to keep this the way it is for tonight, and to discuss tomorrow's agenda. Is that correct? Or to discuss tomorrow's agenda tomorrow?
The rest of the agenda tomorrow morning.
Okay, it's basically a motion to. Table this discussion until tomorrow, except it wasn't a table, so it can be discussed. So you can amend that to change it to however you like.
Okay. I would like to amend tonight's agenda to add to, before the KPFK presentation, the discussion of asking Council Siegel to remain and also to address the affiliate's director election.
So I hear two items for the agenda. One is to ask Dan to remain, and the other is to address the affiliate's election.
Yes.
Okay.
Before the KPFK presentation.
There are two items there, but do you want to vote on them both together, or what do you want to do with that?
I'm flexible as long as they get on the agenda.
Well, they have to be approved for the agenda. So, but I would suggest doing them separately. There are different issues in both cases, and it might be useful to do that.
Are you predicting the outcome? Is that why you say that?
No, I'm just saying that it would be easier to manipulate this to do what we need to do and get through it.
Okay, go ahead. Let's go.
Shall we take the first one of those? That was the one that came up at the end of the session, so I'd suggest that what we do.
Which is what we said that we would do. We would discuss that after the break, yes.
Yes. So the amendment to Grace's motion is that we, in fact, discuss retaining Dan Siegel as
legal counsel.
No. We tried to convince him to rescind his resignation.
So it's
to ask him to
resign. Okay, fine. It's a motion. So the motion is before the board would be to decide whether to ask him to rescind his resignation. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Point of information. It's
thank you. Okay. My question is, I thought that what we would be voting on is to amend the agenda to put that item at the first of the agenda, and that we would not be voting on the question of whether we would be asking Dan to rescind, whether that question goes on the agenda now.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. Discussion. No discussion? If there's no objection, we will call the question.
Read the motion.
And the motion is to amend Grace's motion, which said we won't change today's agenda, to say we will put on the table for discussion put on the table for discussion asking Dan to rescind his decision to resign as legal counsel. Is that correct, Nia?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
That wasn't the motion.
We're just putting on a discussion. What Andrea said earlier can be brought up again as a motion or whatever, but it's not.
Right.
It's not really relevant to the moment. So.
I didn't hear that. Sorry.
I think we can do this by a show of hands. How many people would like to put this on the agenda? Put your hand up if you'd like to do that.
For now. Right now.
For right now. Right.
No, I don't want it for right now. I don't want it for now.
Okay.
I don't want it for now.
I see.
I'm just different. I'm sorry. Could I be recognized? Could I be recognized, please?
I don't see anyone putting their hands up. How many people would be opposed to putting on the agenda in this session? Put your hand up. Okay. So the motion fails. That amendment fails. Did you want to make the second amendment?
Yeah, about discussing the affiliates election?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So voting for this would be to put that on the agenda now. Voting against it would be to not put it on the agenda now. So is there discussion about that?
Point of information, what is the issue?
Nia?
What is the issue about seating affiliates rep?
Okay. Would you like me to speak?
Yes.
Okay. The issue is that there were three people. One person was nominated correctly, met all the requirements, and that person, that's fine. There were two people whose nominations were late. During the ballot counting, which Carolyn and I went to Donna Neiman's house in New York City, and we counted the ballots, right? And David Beaton and Lori Taguma, those are the two people. Lori Taguma got 9 first place votes. Fia Rwangaza got 6 first place votes. David Beaton got 7, remind me now, Donna or Carolyn, please, 7 second place votes. The issue, well, another issue, as I mentioned before, David and Lori's nominations were late. So if we accepted David and not Lori, the motion was to accept all three and then vote on them. That didn't happen. You know, we all know what transpired. So I think that needs to be discussed as to why we would accept David Beaton, whose nomination was 3 days late, and not Lori Tagumas.
Okay, so, yes.
To my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that Lori didn't have any affiliate to nominate her. That was the problem with her nomination.
Point of order.
Okay. This is the discussion of
that's
what we might discuss.
That
is. Yes,
well,
thank you.
And so, I want to understand the issue here because I'm not sure.
Well, then vote to put it on the
that's
agenda
right.
And we'll talk about it.
Or not. The issue is about the election. The discussion will be about whatever people want to discuss about it. I'd like to just take a vote on that. So you want
may
to say something?
May I just make one more comment, which is it seems to me that this also goes to the legitimacy of the seating for the board.
Correct.
And so as the public session has begun, then it seems to me this is the right time to address it. So I'm just speaking in favor of the motion.
Correct.
Wendy?
We've
Wendy, then Jamie, then Carolyn.
We've spent considerable hours on this already. The decision has been voted on twice. It doesn't make any sense to me to interrupt this meeting and do it again now.
Chair, can we move to the vote?
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't recognize you yet. I have Jamie and Carolyn. You can call the question when it comes to you.
I'd like to. My comment is similar to Wendy's. We actually decided this issue last week that.
No.
This year's affiliate directors were David Beaton and Afia Mwangaza, and we also decided in December, I believe, on the 16th or the 20th, that the only legitimate nominations for affiliate director were David Beaton and Afia Mwangaza. So to bring this up one more time, you know, it's not like the issue has not already been decided.
Carolyn?
Just a point of order.
Point of order?
Yeah. That is not the case.
That's an argument. That's not a point of order.
Lori was never disqualified.
It's not a point of order. We're talking about whether to have the discussion. We're not having the discussion.
Since
we can hear you. Talk.
Can you? Since my name was mentioned, I just want to point out that was not quite a summary of the decision. That was made. It wasn't that there were two nominees.
I'm sorry. It's the same thing. It's the same thing.
Well, I was misquoted, is my point.
I'm sorry. It's the same thing.
You weren't with me? Luzette? That's how I mentioned your name.
Nia, please.
Nia.
Luzette, did you want to call the question?
Chair, can we move to the vote?
I take that as a motion to call the question.
Yes.
Is there any objection to calling the question? Hearing none. Those who would like to have a discussion about this, put up your hand.
You mean add it to the agenda?
Add it to the agenda for next. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
6.
Those who would not like to do that, those who oppose. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The motion fails. Donna, I'm sorry, I'm taking over your job. I'm going to give it back to you. The motion fails. What we have then is Grace's motion, which is to move on with the agenda for tonight, which consists of the report from Sean and public comment and a visit to KPFK, and to address these issues on the approval of the agenda tomorrow morning, first thing. Do I have any? Can I go to a vote on that? Is there any objection to that? Okay. All those in favor of Grace's motion, please raise your hand.
Which was
that? Donna?
Oh, yes.
Would you take the count?
Grace's motion
to keep the agenda as it is and approve the agenda for tomorrow. Okay, so the motion fails. I'm sorry, the motion passes. sorry.
What about the no vote?
I'm on rails. Here we go.
Can I just say that KPFK have got some activities planned for the board, and if it is at all possible to end at 8:30 time certain so that people can have an opportunity to get to KPFK in time for activities that are starting promptly at 9 o'clock.
Is Sean here?
He is.
Sean, can you do this in a half an hour?
Aye.
Okay. You're on. I didn't hear the sir. That would be nice. Sean, you're on.
Please.
First of all, it's great to finally put some faces to a lot of these famous names that I'm familiar with. And so thank you for having me. I'll keep it short so we can go have some hors d'oeuvres and some other fun stuff over at the building. Everybody been to the building before? Is this going to be new for some folks? It's not like KPFA, so be prepared. I passed out this report. Very clean. This is kind of the Duane from KPFT model. It's my first time doing this. He said to keep it one page. I accidentally went with two pages, but we got a lot to say. So it's in front of you. It's kind of chunked down to very specific segments, so you can follow along. You can look at it again later. Yes, ma'am. Sure. Our first section here in our report on the status of KPFK is some business and finance and development. Section one is titled Funds. We have $101,000 in the bank, enough to get us through our current payroll, pay all our vendors off, and get us to the fund drive, right up to the skin of our teeth. This February fund drive is scheduled to start midnight on the 6th, Friday. It's an extremely critical fund drive, as our fall fund drive was as well. We grossed over $1 million in the October fund drive, and our goal is a minimum of $1 million for this fund drive as well. As far as cost reductions, and then we can go back to questions if you have any questions about each one of these sections, in October 2008, reductions were implemented in several key areas, including payroll. Prior to cuts, monthly payroll was at $118,000 monthly. It's currently at $95,000 for a savings of $23,000 monthly. KPFK moved to Kaiser Permanente for all of our health insurance. It used to have a choice, resulting in an annual savings of $50,000. The KPFK news department was reorganized, allowing for the elimination of the Stringer budget for an annual savings of $40,000. As far as central services goes, due to expenditures, large expenditures, KPFK was behind on its payments. As of September 1, it was behind by $311,000. We started to repay central services in October, and we expect to be fully up to date on payments by March 1. So that's yes. 1 month. Fulfillment with KPFK, almost our sole source of revenue at K, is fund drives. Fund drives and our CPB grant. And fulfillment is obviously extraordinarily important, and I hate to say it, but our fulfillment rate was extremely low. 77% of all pledges were actually fulfilled. With three fund drives, that's almost like taking one whole fund drive off the table at the end of the year. We are currently projecting a fulfillment rate of at least 85%. It's very difficult to tell exactly what will happen by the end of the year because we have people who are on monthly installments. We consider them fully paid. With our projection, I believe we're going to exceed that 85% from what I can tell from our previous fund drive. And we probably are inching towards 90%, but I don't want to get too confident. So it's at least 85%. This is being accomplished through several practices, including one very obvious one, which I've heard several national board members promote. I've seen it in several documents. It's public radio 101 these days. And that is promoting, I know this is kind of a bad word during the economy, but promoting the use of the credit card for when making a pledge. Not requiring it, but really encouraging people to use their credit card because you might forget to send in that payment. I've done it myself. And so by promoting the usage of credit card, I think we're going to see fulfillment go through the roof. KKJZ, where I came from, they're doing fairly well. We had 97% fulfillment, so I think it can be done.
Wow.
The other thing is when we're doing our pledge drives, we have to be very conscious of who we're asking to come aboard as listener sponsors. Are we asking our core listeners, our exclusive listeners, and our first choice listeners? Or are we somehow reaching out to our second choice, third choice, fourth choice, scanners even, people who are just scanning? We get a lot of those, I can tell, just from the comments we get from the phone room. When a second, third, fourth choice and scanner bite on a thank you gift, there's sometimes buyer's remorse. They're not fully aware of the relationship that we're trying to create. They're buying something. They realize that something is overpriced in their minds. In other words, we use that 10% rule for thank you gifts. Maybe we purchase something for $10. The pledge level is $100. They go on Google. They find out they could have purchased that same item for much less. This is because they're not exclusive or first-choice listeners. They're not aware yet of this relationship that we are trying to build. They have buyer's remorse, or they hear something that is sensational or interesting or entertaining, and then we don't continue with that type of content once the drive is over. So we preempt something, we put something else in there, and they find out when the drive's over, we don't follow up with that type of content. And so we're tricking ourselves when we say, hey, got some big numbers, we're grossing a lot of money, but we're getting people who aren't necessarily ready to become members. People who listen exclusively to us or were their first choice, they're ready. They all should be members. They get it. And we need to focus on them as opposed to people who aren't quite ready yet. Fulfillment will go through the roof if we make sure that's who we're recruiting. KPFK is also suffering from a poor retention rate. We have 48% retention right now. That means that last year, those that came aboard, only 48% of them renewed this year. The whole game is to get 100% so that we don't have to have these long fund drives and we don't have to have many of them, so that we can get them through the mail or get them online to continue to renew. The eternal pledge is a great way to do that. Also increasing customer service, quotations around customer, no other way to describe it. But how we serve our listener, sponsor, when they come aboard is extremely important. And we at KPFK have put this retention problem at a high priority. Our tactic is to really improve the way we handle our listener sponsors, and we have a lot of work to do. We're not doing it well yet, but we're getting there. And it also, the fund drive retention rates also have, again, something to do with who we're targeting, second through fourth choice, as opposed to exclusive or first-choice listeners. Some good news. KPFK, I think, has forged a new way to fundraise, and we experimented in the holiday season with a one-day fund drive. It was also a campaign to fight hunger in Los Angeles. And with our FCC attorney, we were able to figure out how to do this legally because there are some traps, there are some pitfalls if you fundraise for another organization, it's illegal. If you do certain things on air, it's a violation of underwriting law. So for your stations that are interested in doing what I'm about to describe, make sure that we get together and talk to John Krigler about the proper way to do this. But we partnered with Food Not Bombs. We raised $51,000 in one day for Kay with hardly any pitching. We pitched the last 10 minutes of each hour compared to some hours where we pitched the entire hour or we pitched multiple times an hour. So we pitched for 10 minutes, the last 10 minutes of each hour, raised $51,000. This is what we like to raise every day during a fund drive with all of this pitching. And we were also able to facilitate 10,000 nutritious meals at the same time. So the listeners that I spoke to personally when taking pledges and all the feedback I got, everybody felt extremely positive about this is how it works. It's their thank you gift. This is why it's legal. That was turned into nutritious meals for people in need. Loved it. Programming. So this is business finance development programming. We're working together, the GM, the program director, and our programming oversight committee on a standardized approach to evaluating current programming and potential programming. This group is also considering different ways to ensure that listeners and listener sponsors have easily accessible avenues to providing valuable input on current programming and potential programming. I want to briefly talk about some new additions to our grid. KPFK was extremely lucky to add two new programs on a temporary basis. Comedian Roseanne Barr and co-host Johnny Argent are hosting Beneath the Surface Wednesdays at 5. They're donating their time to the station. Accomplished writer and columnist Gustavo Arellano is doing the same for us during the 4 o'clock hour on Tuesdays. He's donating his time as well. And we're very proud to be airing a KPFA-produced daily program, Letters from Washington, the first 100 days of Obama, 12:30 every day at K. It's a very good show. Ratings. You might have some questions about this, and I'll be prepared to answer or help you through this. Obviously, Arbitron's got its problems, but it's one of the things that we use to kind of figure out where we're at. It's not the, you know, the best system, but it's what we have. And they have a new system. It's the People Meter. You probably have all heard about it. Different than the when people sent in their surveys. So we get information almost in real time. We get it every few weeks. KPFK currently has in a market of over 12 million people, 12 million radio listeners, as you were, 141,000 weekly listeners. It has 340, as you were, 34,000 daily listeners. Its average quarter hour, meaning the number of people that are listening at any given moment, roughly, 1667. Its time spent listening is an hour and 25 minutes. The average person listens to KPFK an hour and 25 minutes a week. And its share of the radio listenership in Los Angeles is 0.1%. One more section in programming, our online focus, which is another highlight for KPFK, and I think it might be for some of the other stations, and it certainly should be for the network. KPFK has been dedicating itself to expanding Pacifica's service online here in LA. It's reduced its related costs by 50%, but it's increased its streaming capacity by 500%. Because of this, we're really experiencing unprecedented traffic to our website, to our live stream. We have around 2,500 listeners tuned in at our peak hours, which happen to be in the middle of the night now during Roy of Hollywood. Additionally, podcasting KPFK programs is really proven to be, honestly, no doubt, a viable option for distributing our programming. For instance, Global Village, which has an average listenership, average AQH of like 1,000, has had programs, days, for example, our Friday edition, 500,000 downloads worldwide. 500,000 people downloaded one of those programs.
Worldwide.
With 1,000 people listening to it on the air. Roseanne Barr's program, which has just started, is getting up to 10,000 downloads every week with just starting out. Meanwhile, that particular slot has had an AQH of around 1,000 also. So we're not sure what she's doing yet on air through Arbitron's surveys. We'll find that out in the next couple of weeks. But we do know that there are times where 10,000 people are downloading her show, which is an AQH and a QM of 10,000 because we know they're listening to the entire show. So the number of people downloading these programs dramatically exceeds the number of currently listening to KPFK via radio in those time slots. Dramatically exceeds. So the web is a viable place to distribute Pacifica content. Finally, KPFK, due to our budget cuts and our reduction of payroll and having to reorganize, has reorganized its operational structure. And from this reorganization, some new positions were created, an outreach coordinator and a fundraising coordinator. Jennifer Kaiser, formerly KPFK's assistant to the program director, now outreach coordinator, is doing very well in reviving our outreach and our media sponsorship. So we're doing really well there, getting the word out, engaging the community better than when I first got here. So I think we're going to make strides there. And Maggie LaPique, formerly the music coordinator, has fully embraced this fundraising coordinator position that I've created. She's on it. We've got an incredible fundraiser coming up in Los Angeles in the community, where we have some very special guests that will be joining us, and she's also working on a 50th anniversary celebration for July. So she's doing an outstanding job in that area. So is Jennifer in her area as well. Any questions about any of these sections, the ratings or fundraising?
Let me say that the times on here actually don't add up. You have plenty of time to take questions.
Sweet. Yeah. So, again, thank you. I hope this was enough information. I certainly have a lot more I could dish your way, but I didn't want to overwhelm you.
Yeah, that reduction by 50% of cost and expansion by 500%, mm-hmm. Could that guy do that with my bank account? Because I could use a lot of help with that.
I'll Alexa. Alexa at kpfk.org. He'll help you out.
I just have to tell you how impressed I am with this whole idea of a premium being something like nutritious food. I can see where that would appeal above all else to so many of our listeners, and I hope we follow that up, because to raise that kind of money in one day and then get out 10,000 nutritious meals, I mean, just puts a warm spot in my tummy as well as our subscribers.
It's very Pacifican.
Yes, thank you.
I think so. I agree.
Let's see, Lizette, then Jamie, then Susan.
For those of us who aren't quite up to date with modern technology, do you see a source of income with the expansion of the what do you call it now? The web stream downloading. And have we started charging people yet?
Well, currently we're still on the honor system like we are on air. There are models where you could require people to sign in or pledge to accept a podcast. Currently, we're not doing that. But I think in terms of top of mind, it's much easier to raise money online than it is on the air. They've got the button right there to click. You're in their face with exactly what you want them to see, the thank you gift, the mission. They're listening. It's interactive. We can even come up with ways, and people are already doing it, where they can communicate immediately with somebody live. I mean, it depends on how you want to do it, a chat room, a blog, you name it, with a pledge button right there. So it's a very efficient way.
Chair, John had a very stern look just now. Can I ask what it is you're trying to say? John?
No, there are other people on the...
No, he had a very, very stern look at in response to what
it's
I said. I just want to hear, that's all.
There's a new agreement between Sound Exchange and CPB, and you can't, under those rules where we would get our web streams paid, you cannot charge a subscription service.
Okay. That's fine. Thank you.
We're already making money from it. I answer phones in the phone room, and during Fund Drive, I take calls from all over the United States. We're broadcasting locally, and it's going out on the Internet, and I get calls from Carolina, from New York City, all over Texas, all over the country, sometimes overseas. We're making money already from the world.
Leave Texas alone. Those are ours.
Jamie, Susan, Jim, and then a few.
Thanks, Sean. For that report.
It was Jamie, Susan, Jim, and then Afia.
Let's see. Thanks for being so concise and informative at the same time. And I had two questions. I just wanted to clarify, is this entire $311,000 debt going to be paid up as of March 2009?
Yes.
That's fantastic. Yeah, as people may remember, the National Office budget was designed without getting any money from KPFK for 6 months, but it seems like that assumption was not founded. So that's good.
That's great.
So we underestimated income, which is a good thing.
Yes. And we don't need a loan.
Well, and the other question I have is regarding retention rate. You say a dismal retention rate of 48%. You know, I've seen retention rates along these lines for the other stations. In your experience, especially at your previous station, what retention rate can be achieved? I mean, people would like to retain 100%, but like a very high-functioning station with good customer service, what would the expectation be?
I would say that our goal should be 60 to 75%.
And did you achieve this goal at KKJZ?
Yeah, yes.
Yes? 60 to 65 to 70?
It was, I think, when I left, 67%.
Okay. All right. Thanks, John.
Okay. Susan.
Yeah, I have the same question about podcasting, but I'd like to follow up on it, which is how much have you already included on the website the click-through, this is your opportunity to, you know, contribute if you like this, all that, and what is the success rate on that?
It depends on how well we promoted on air. We did an entire drive that was web only. That obviously was excellent in terms of, you know.
How excellent was it? What was the excellent part of it? How much did it make?
Well, normally, I think we do like $25,000 in a $1 million drive. And when we did a web fund drive for, I think it was 1 week, we did 25,000 online in 1 week as opposed to, you know, 3 weeks, you know, during the fund drive. But we have a lot of work to do. Our webmaster is doing a great job. We put a splash page up. I think we copied KPFA from that. And there's so many new tricks that pop up. So putting a pledge button wherever you can, even putting a message in front of our podcast that say, we haven't done this yet, but this is where we're going, putting in front of the podcast where we can that say we're listener-sponsored and your generous contribution would be appreciated, et cetera.